It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
I want to ask you some theological questions today, but some questions that actually have a lot of significance in terms of how they work out in our personal lives. How much power does the devil have? How much power does Satan have? And does everything happen according to God's will? Are there things that happen that are contrary to his will? How much control does he exercise? When we say God is in control, how much control does he actually exercise? And how does that affect our lives? Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire broadcast. 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Email me directly at Dr. Brown. That's drbrown at askdrbrown.org. Now, I'm thinking about these issues for a number of reasons. Obviously, my ongoing debate interaction with Calvinists continues on my website, on the Line of Fire forum on our website. So that's ongoing. Looking forward to further debates on the subject, reading more different perspectives on it. As I focused on it more in the last few months than I have probably in the last couple of decades before that. So that's one issue, the sovereignty of God, God exercising control. Does everything happen according to his purpose and plan? Does he work even bad things for the good? Is he behind those bad things, etc.? But the issue's on my mind also for another reason, and that I'm preparing for a major debate a couple months from today with Professor Bart Ehrman, talking about God and the problem of suffering. And before then, scheduled to do a talk March 2nd here in Charlotte at Charlotte One. By the way, if you're between 18 and 35 years old in the Charlotte area, if you don't know about Charlotte One, this is a wonderful weekly event with hundreds, probably 500-600 young people, young professionals gathering together from, I think, at least 40 different churches. I'm doing a lecture series March 2nd, 9th, 23rd, then panel discussion the 30th, God willing, in Charlotte at Charlotte One. So if you're anywhere around, come out for those. But the first week, I'm going to do a whole lecture on the problem of evil. How can there be so much evil suffering in this world if God is so good? And then that raises further questions. What is God controlling? Where is he giving liberty? How much is our responsibility, etc.? What is the devil actually doing? Can we even talk about a devil and what he's doing? So look, these are practical issues. It's not just theory. Here, let me give you an example. Let's say you are in a life-threatening situation. Let's say a family member is attacked and it's life or death whether this person's going to make it. Let's say you believe whatever happens is God's will. If the sickness and disease happened, it happened because either God sent it or God specifically permitted it in his plan. And you say, Lord, your will be done. If it's death, it's death. If it's life, it's life. That's one attitude. What if it's an attack of the devil? We know that Jesus healed many people in the New Testament, and they were healed because they were under attack of the devil. Acts 10:38 sums it up, doesn't it? That God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Many specific instances of healing in the New Testament where demons were driven out of people. What if this is a demonic attack and you need to stand? Ephesians 6, having done all to stand, you need to stand and drive this thing out of your house in Jesus' name, and if you don't, the person's going to die. So, but if I live like that, then I think it's all on me. I think all the pressure was on me. I would think that if I miss it one day, my family might die. Who can live like that? No, I bow down before a sovereign God who works all things according to the counsel of his will, and whatever he brings, I rejoice and then accept. You see, two very different attitudes. Both can appeal to Scripture. Both can talk about the benefit, the help that is brought into personal life, and both can talk about the danger of the other position. Now look, I know of people who lost their faith because they were told that God took their child home. They were told God had a purpose in taking your three-year-old home in this tragic accident or to this terrible disease, and they lost their faith. And then someone years later said to them, that wasn't God, that was the devil that stole your baby, and they came back to God. And I know the exact opposite story, that people were told, well, it was the devil that stole your child, and they thought, if the devil could steal my child, where is God? And they lost their faith. And then when someone taught them years later, no, everything happens according to God's purpose and plan. God took your child. There's a purpose in it. You can trust him. They came back to faith. So I've seen it have destructive impact either way. I've seen it have a life-giving impact either way. The question is, as best as we can understand, what do the scriptures actually say? How much power does Satan have? Is it always like in the book of Job where he has to go and get permission from God? And therefore, whatever demonic things happening in the world today happen because Satan has explicit permission from God. Is that what the scripture teaches? Is the book of Job sufficient to tell us that? Or maybe a few other passages back it up? Or is Satan on the prowl? And if we don't resist him, there's trouble. 1 Peter chapter 5, what's written there? It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, I've heard it say, well, the devil ain't got no teeth. Devil's been defanged. He ain't got no teeth. Well, yes, in one sense, Jesus broke the back of Satan's power at the cross. But in another sense, Satan is going about as a roaring lion looking for people to devour. He doesn't gum them. He rips them up with claws and with teeth. He's a murderer. That's why we are told to resist him steadfast in the faith. So how much power does Satan have? How much power do we have over Satan? How much is up to the sovereign control of God? And you may have a viewpoint and say, well, I can't debate it with you. No, I don't want to debate it. Now, if you call to challenge me and you want to argue, I'm happy to take up the issue. But what's your own feeling? Do you feel, as a mom with kids, as a dad responsible for a family, as a single person seeking to please the Lord, as someone doing ministry, do you feel that whatever happens, happens because it's God's will, and whatever comes your way, either way, good or bad, it's God's will, praise the Lord, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, may the name of the Lord be praised. Do you feel that if you're right with God, you can take refuge in him? There's a shelter in him, a place of protection and safety, but if you open the door to hell, there can be attack. Or perhaps if you are playing games with sin, that things will happen contrary to God's will. When it says in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those called according to his purpose, does that mean that everything that happens is God's will? Or that through everything, God is working. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Let me say again that I want to make this as practical as I can. So if you're driving in your car, you hear the first part of this and you miss the rest, by all means, go to the website, askdrbrown.org, click on Line of Fire, and listen to the show after it airs. It'll be up by the end of today or tomorrow morning. Or subscribe by podcast to catch up on any of the shows that you miss. Because ultimately, I believe that having right beliefs in this subject really does affect the way we live. And the Bible, on the one hand, is not that big of a book when you think of other books of religious literature. On the other hand, it's vast. It has so much to say. It speaks to people in different cultures, different centuries, different parts of the world, and is relevant at the same time. I mean, think of writing something that remains relevant for people thousands of years after it was written, and it's relevant across culture. I mean, that's extraordinary. So I'm not saying that we're going to boil this down to a simple little formula, but I believe there are clear principles that we can take away, and if we take those principles away, it will affect the way we live. Now, I'm going to go to the calls as soon as we come back, but I want to say one last thing before our first break today. I was teaching Koreans training for ministry back in New York City beginning in 1982, and they believed that sickness and disease coming upon people was not God's will. unless it was judgment or something, but that death was God's will. So if anyone died, it had to be God's will. So I said, is it God's will that, well, I was teaching on the 12th floor of a building in Manhattan, is it God's will that I open the window to this building right now and threaten to jump out? No. I said, is it God's will if I open the window and then I jump out? No. I said, but when I hit the ground and die, it becomes God's will? So I want us to think these things through together. This much we know. God is good. God is our Father. God is all-powerful. He's given promises. He sits on the throne and rules and reigns, and he has set principles in place in this world. What are those principles? How do we live? We'll answer these questions and a whole lot more. Stay with us. Is the devil out to get you? Does he have power to get you? Does God have to allow him? Do we open the door? Do we have authority over Satan? Do we just let God have authority over Satan? Some of the questions we're talking about today. I'm the Line of Fire, Michael Brown. Thanks for joining us. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, Dr. Brown. It's Dr. Brown at askdrbrown.org. Let's go to the phones. Joseph in High Point, thanks for calling today.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how you doing? It's Joseph calling.
Hey.
Hey, timid topic about death, you know, because we don't understand the full dynamics of death or even catastrophe. Like you mentioned, some people might blame God or blame Satan. But in fact, I know as a Christian, as a believer, I know that it is not God's will that we get sick or die. But God never forces his will on us, and we make choices that result with consequences. My people perish due to lack of knowledge, and a lot of times, whether you believe or not, even sometimes believers make wrong choices and end up paying consequences because of it. Is it God that allows it? Well, God might allow it, but it's not his will. It's for sure as the enemy who's working through it. But I can recall many scriptures, of course. Romans 8:28 said that God will work all things for good. Not necessarily means for our good, but for his good, for the good of his kingdom, for the good of his glory, for the good of the advancement of the gospel. Mm. It says in Genesis 50:19, when Joseph said, you know, you meant this for evil, but God has turned it for good. There's a scripture in Romans 9:17 that says, the scripture says unto Pharaoh that for this very reason I raised you, so that through you I might display my power and my name be glorified. So, I mean, a lot of times it's very difficult to explain whose fault is it, but if you really look at it in the individual, you can find reasons within yourselves of being
right
out of the will of God.
Right. So if we just think of some things, and you know, obviously everyone's going to die in this world unless Jesus returns first. The question is it a premature death? Is that possible? Yeah, on the one hand, God is working out his purpose always in the earth.
Correct.
And things that, here, Joseph's brothers intended something for evil, and the Hebrew there specifically talks about, you know, plotting against him, the idiom that's used. God knew what they were going to do and used it for good. God did not inspire them to do that wicked thing, but God used it for, I mean, he's amazing. He's a million miles ahead of us. But you're absolutely right to say that not everything that happens to us, excuse me, is specifically God's will. For example, when Paul's writing to the Corinthians and talking to them about eating the bread unworthily, right, eating the bread and the wine, so partaking of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, he says that is why, 1 Corinthians 11:30, many among you are weak and sick,
exactly,
and a number of you have fallen asleep, meaning died.
Exactly.
But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. So he's saying that these people shouldn't have died when they did. It was premature. It was because of sin. So therefore, examine yourself so this doesn't happen to you.
I can recall many other, in Hebrews chapter 11, the book of faith, who didn't have a victorious great ending. They were chopped and killed all for the sake of the faith. And they made choices, too, that might have led their lives to be ended prematurely, but it was because of the decisions that they made, which was to still proclaim Jesus as Lord.
So in a case like that, that's where we learn another lesson, that it's one thing to suffer for the gospel,
Correct.
It's suffering for obedience. It's another thing to suffer for sin. One thing is wonderful. We get a reward for it. The other thing is terrible. We grieve over it. So if, for example, a believer does something foolish, resists the Spirit's warnings, resists the warnings of friends, goes out, gets stone cold drunk, gets in a car, crashes the car, they get killed, they kill a family, we don't say, oh, praise the Lord for what he's done. Look at the works of the Lord, and let's rejoice because his reward is great in heaven. We say, what a tragedy. This is a life lost and cut down. God can work good out of it because he's God, and he will if we walk with him. The families walk with him. But the thing itself is contrary to his plan. And so, Joseph, as you've thought about these issues, and you've got a lot of scripture in your mind, what about the devil? Is he just going about freely doing what he's doing? Is he under divine restraints? How do you look at that?
Well, yeah, I believe he is a created being of God and is subject to God's divine plan and his will. I'm not saying that what the devil does is God's will, because he's rebellious to God. In the book of Romans, chapter 8 says that if those who follow the pleasures of the skin, of the flesh, should I say, cannot and does not know how and cannot fulfill the will of God. So, he is a created being, and as a created being, he's still subject to God's rule and God's word.
Right. So there are constraints he's under, and yet we're told to resist him. Hey, Joseph, I appreciate the call and your love for the word. God bless you, man.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks. Bye. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Do you see it differently? Do you believe that if a Christian dies for any reason, that we have to accept that as God's will? Perhaps you might even want to extend that to anyone in the world. But do you believe that it's possible for someone to have their life cut short in terms of, you might say, well, Psalm 139, I mean, he knit us together, our days are numbered. Does that mean that there is a predestined, and I'm not using predestined in a negative sense here at all, or to spark controversy, I'm using it in a very positive sense, that God formed you in the womb, formed me in the womb, with a set number of days that we're going to live, and that's it. Or can that be affected by, let's say we're abusive to our own bodies, let's say we don't heed God's warnings, or let's say on the flip side that we honor him and seek his face and do what's right in his sight, and as a result of that, he showers us with grace and favor. I mean, Psalm 91, those who take refuge and live in the secret place, the hiding place, will be favored with life. What about the promises in the Torah? Exodus 15, 26, Exodus 23, verses 25 and 26, Deuteronomy 7, 14 and 15, that promise if the people of Israel as a nation would obey God, they would be blessed with life and with health. Their children would have, they would reproduce children, they wouldn't be barren, they'd have adequate food and water, and if they didn't, they'd be cut short, and there'd be all kinds of judgments. Wouldn't that seem to fall on how those people actually live? In other words, God said, here's what I desire, here's what I'm willing to bless you with if you'll obey, and if you obey, there's blessing, if you disobey, there is cursing. So this is the way he set it up. Again, it's not a matter of that he's dependent on us. No, he set it up a certain way because he wants people to obey him freely. He wants people to turn from sin and be his. That's why he rebukes them, basically saying, I was willing, but you were not, over and over in the Word. And without question, in Jesus, we have authority over Satan. In Jesus, we have authority over Satan without question. Question is, how much authority is he taking, because we aren't taking ours? So further questions, we're going to talk these through. Robert from Honolulu, you're up next. Hey, Robert, I hope there's no snow in Hawaii, because it's snowing all over America. It's really interesting here, but I bet there's no snow in Honolulu. We'll get a weather report when we come back. The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. Boy, that is a theme taught in the scriptures, and that's something that As a Calvinist, I gloried in, and I've continued to glory in ever since as a non-Calvinist. The Lord reigns. He rules. He is king. He is God. He's carrying out his will on the earth. Does that mean that everything that happens is according to his will? Does it mean he's moving everything towards his grandmaster plan? How much is it his will to put the authority for the earth in people's hands? 866-34-TRUTH. Email me at drbrown@askdrbrown.org. Oh, can I remind you, March 4th and 5th, Thursday night, Friday day, Discover Fire. We are not looking for more students. We are looking for world changers that we can help equip and send out. Just had lunch with one of our missionaries, one of our grads from our school. We were first in Pensacola. He's been in Mexico now 11 years on the field, laboring, working with Mexican Indians, hardship, difficulty. I'm talking about having to swim across rivers to get to people in 120-degree weather and a motorcycle accident. When a bus hit him, he should have been dead. And he's been laboring there faithfully, one of our grads. We're looking to send out more laborers. So give us a call, 704-782-3555. That's 704-782-3555. Or go to AskDrBrown.org and click on Fire School of Ministry to find out about Discover Fire. That's Thursday night and Friday day, March 4th and 5th. All right, back to the phones. Robert in Honolulu. So it's not snowing there, right?
No. No, it's not snowing here.
Great. And I trust you're listening online, because I don't think we have a station in Hawaii yet.
Yeah, I'm listening online.
Yeah, so what's your take on this?
Yeah, well, first of all, Dr. Brown, thank you for your great ministry. It's a blessing listening to it all the way here from Hawaii. So thank you very much for it. But I wanted to
thank
answer
you.
Your question about whether God is in control, or does the devil have some power in all of, you know, the bad things that happen in the world. I'm still young in the faith. I'm only 24 years old, but this is my take on it right now. I think we need to believe that God is ultimately in control, because that's why we trust in him as God, because we know that, you know, the prophecies that are made in the Bible will come to pass because he is in control. But like in the book of Job, it says there that God actually said that to the devil, you know, concerning Job, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. So, you know, I think God allows some things to happen. You know, for example, the Chaldeans came and did things to Job. A natural disaster happened that, you know, killed his children. Bad things like that. But I think we need to keep some important things in mind when we see all these things happening around us. I think the important thing is that we have a responsibility to fear God,
mm-hmm.
despite whatever happens around us, because he's God. And in Job 40, verse 8, it says, "Wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous?"
Mm-hmm. Right, and that's the human attitude, that we're going to prove that we're right, and in order to prove that we're right, we have to condemn God. And the psalmist says, David says in Psalm 51, let God be true and every man a liar. So that's the ultimate posture we have to be in.
Yeah, and I think God does give us, like you answered that question, God does give us power over the devil. Like, for example, in James chapter 4, he says, submit yourselves to God,
mm-hmm.
Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm going to reflect on this a little bit more as well. But hey, Robert, you keep pressing into Jesus and following him. And I'm so glad that we can be a blessing to you over there in Hawaii. Hey, if you get any snow, let us know, okay?
Thank you.
All right. God bless you. Thanks so much for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me throw out something else. I appreciate the insights of these callers. Let me throw out something else. Paul talked about, when he wrote to the Thessalonians, that he wanted to see them. He wanted to visit them. But Satan had hindered him. He really wanted to come. But Satan had hindered him from coming. Doesn't explain how, just that it happened. And yet, we know, for example, in Acts 16 that Paul wants to go preach a certain way, and the Spirit says no, 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 and then he gets a dream. Okay, it's called the Macedonian, and they end up in Philippi. So on the one hand, and some commentators have asked this, how did Paul know when it was the Holy Spirit saying don't go this way versus the devil resisting? Now, maybe the circumstances were obvious. Maybe the devil stopping it was some demon-inspired thing where people got in the way and things were stopped. But couldn't you also say, well, maybe God doesn't want me to go? In other words, outwardly, things might look the same, and yet one thing may be God working. Another thing may be the devil working. Is he just leaving us confused? Are there ways that we can know? Are there ways that we can be sure? And I'm going to start giving you some of my own thoughts, building on what our callers have said. I've got an email from David, who said, one big question I always ask about this issue, you know, Calvinism debate. The question is, didn't God know that Lucifer would become Satan? And he will, this fellow's from, another country, so English is not that great, so I'll correct it as I go. He'll do a lot of harm. How can a loving God create such a being in a way that he, whether he created him directly or indirectly? Is it possible that God the Father made all things through his Son, so he knows what will happen but didn't tell his Son, etc.? Okay, as far as the foreknowledge of Jesus, as the eternal Son, obviously he had perfect foreknowledge of all things, but in this world, incarnate, stripped, willfully stripped of his divine prerogatives, he did not exercise the full knowledge that he had, so he had to eat, drink, sleep, learn to speak, learn to walk like every other human being. Things were revealed to him by the Spirit, but he did not have perfect 100% knowledge here in this world. I know that was a big, big deal for Kermit Zarley and opened the door for him to end up denying the preexistence of the Son and the deity of Jesus, which I believe is tragic and certainly not according to the scriptural testimony. But this idea of Jesus not knowing everything, well, that's what's called the incarnation and him becoming human, the Son becoming human, fully God yet fully man, living here as a man. So no, I don't think you could say that the Son didn't know what was going to happen. I appreciate you raising the question, David, but more fundamentally, how could God create this being who would end up becoming Satan? Ultimately, we know, number one, God does not cause people to do evil. I know some argue with that, but I would say that God does not, according to scripture testimony, cause people to do evil things. Oh, that's a whole other discussion to get into. Nor would I say that God caused Satan to fall. But God created a universe in which Satan and human beings would freely choose evil. If there's no choice of evil, there's no choice of good, ultimately. Until we get to that choice is made, then we fix in on good forever. The fact of the matter is, God created a universe with these choices because what he will get out of it in the end will be according to his pleasure, for his glory, and for the good of his people. So you've got to look from this part of the story to the end of the story before it makes sense. We come back, I'll start to put some of these things together. Take some more calls on the Line of Fire. God of light, welcome back to the Line of Fire. Thanks for being with us, Michael Brown. Now, you may have started today like totally clear in your thinking about the sovereignty of God and how much control the devil has and how much control we have and so on, and now you're scratching your head. Well, don't worry. We'll sort everything out. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Email me at drbrown@drbrown.org. Excuse me, ask Dr. Brown. I don't email it, just drbrown@askdrbrown.org. Okay. Let me lay out a few thoughts in terms of God's sovereignty, God's control, what the devil can and can't do, what there's responsibility on us to do. And let me put this out in terms of attitudes. If my attitude is, I'm going to live however I want to live, because God is God, he is going to bring about his perfect plan for my life. No, it's not true. Scripture after scripture urges us to run the race, to be holy, to turn from sin, to crucify the flesh, and warns us of consequences if we don't. For example, in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, Paul talks about that we're all called to run our race so as to win. Well, if I don't run my race so as to win, I might not even be in the race. I certainly won't win the prize in that sense. And then Paul says that he disciplines himself. I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. There are plenty of things that we can do in obedience to God so that on that day, with his help and grace, he'll say to us, well done, good and faithful servant, whereas he'll say to others, I'm displeased. This is not what I intended. I mean, the parables teach us this. If they're not talking about eternal salvation, they're certainly talking about reward. They're certainly talking about the favor of God. And we have so many places in the Word where there are consequences, where God says, I really desire to bless you. I really desire to do good to you. I really desired for this, but you weren't willing, but you disobeyed. A passage I raised a debate on the air a few weeks ago from 1 Samuel chapter 2. And this has to do with the priesthood and the household of Eli. But listen to what this says. 1 Samuel 2:30, therefore the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promise that your house and your father's house would minister before me forever. The Hebrew idiom is I surely said. I absolutely said this. Hence the NIVs, I promised that your house and your father's house would minister before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me. Those who honor me, I will honor. But those who despise me will be disdained. The time is coming when I will cut short your strength and the strength of your father's house, that there will not be an old man in your family line. And goes on with the judgment. That was not what God intended. God intended to bless, but their repeated sin, the overwhelming sin of Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli, so severe that judgment came on the line of Eli and Eli's failure to correct them or deal with them. To whom much is given, much is required. So if I think, just sit back, relax, do whatever I want to do. If I want to indulge in certain sin, do it. If I don't want to pray, won't do it. It's just everything. God will bring about his will. Well, his will then is to discipline us. His will then is to correct us. His will might ultimately be judgment instead of blessing. That's on the one hand. And if I think that I don't have to resist the devil, if I think that I do not have to submit myself to God and resist the devil, if I don't think I have to be on watch, on guard in terms of the devil's schemes, if I don't think that I have to put on the armor of God and resist him and hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery darts of the wicked one, well, if that's the case, then I might get bombarded. I might get hit. I might get smashed in certain ways that I don't have to, because if I had the armor on and up, it would make a difference. You say, well, what does that mean? Here's what it means. Number one, if I will draw near to the Lord and submit my life to him, I have nothing to fear, nothing to worry about, nothing to think twice about. If I will genuinely give myself over to God, heart, soul, mind, strength, not that I'll be perfect in this world, but he is my God. I'm seeking to live for and please him. He has given promises after promises after promises, and he will absolutely bring to completion every good thing that he started in me, in you, as we do that. And as we follow his principles and say no to the flesh and resist the devil, we will see his kingdom advance in power. Now, there are 1,000 little things that can happen along the way that we learn from that could have been done differently, where we see how the enemy got in, how the devil got in, where we didn't exercise authority in Jesus' name, where we opened the door through sin and disobedience. And we learn through those things, but if our life is given over to God, there is this overall confidence. He is steering the ship. I'm on that ship. It will get to its destination, and I rest every day of my life in his lordship and authority while I war against the enemies. This is Making Sense. We'll be back. Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Hey, remember Wednesday of this week, I'll be doing an interview with Muslim apologist Sam Shamoon. We'll be talking about what makes Islam so powerful to so many people. you know, it has more adherents than the Catholic Church worldwide. What's the appeal of Islam? What are some of the fundamental errors of Islam? Keys to reaching Muslims. So we'll be having a great dialogue as well as taking your calls. That'll be Wednesday. And then 1 week from today and tomorrow, I'll be having a two-day debate with a cessationist, with a brother who believes that the gifts of the Spirit are not for today and wants to make a scriptural case for it. And of course, I'll make a scriptural case for the other side. So that's coming your way, and lots of ongoing discussion. You love theology, you love debating, you love the Word. Go to our website, askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. You can get into discussion there about Calvinism, Arminianism, about the Trinity, the deity of Jesus, about a bunch of other subjects. And you can read our Voice of Revolution online magazine as well and get into interesting discussions there. So a lot of outlets for your input, feedback, as well as great places for you to learn and grow. Now, one of the things that happened when Jesus came in the world is he really ripped the veil off the spiritual realm. And we began to see how much activity there was from Satan in this world, because it's a fallen, messed up world. The precise amount of how much does God give him the space, how much does God operate on certain principles. Within those principles, Satan can work or people can work. The scriptures don't articulate that fully. I'm convinced of this, if I'm right with God and my life is entrusted to him, in other words, I'm honoring the Lord and I'm living in accordance with his word, that the devil just does not have free access to me. There is refuge in him. We see, though, in the New Testament, the calling to put on armor, the calling in Ephesians 6 to put on the armor of God, the calling in 1 Peter 5 to resist the devil. And to recognize how our brothers and sisters are being afflicted in this world. There is a battle. There is a battle. So we need to keep the door closed in ways that Satan can have access. Ephesians 4 tells us in terms of anger, don't give the devil a foothold. Don't let your anger simmer overnight. There are principles by which we live so that we don't give a foothold to the devil in our relationships, in our personal lives, in our hearts, in our finances, in our families, etc. And that we clothe ourselves with God's righteousness and power, because we are in a war and we are supposed to be on the offensive. So I want to encourage you, as a child of God, you have been empowered by heaven. You have been empowered with the authority of Jesus to be an overcomer. You have been empowered to tear down strongholds. You have been empowered to drive back the forces of darkness in Jesus' name. My concentration, my focus is on God. My concentration is on the Lord Jesus. One of my friends in Scotland years ago was telling someone, he said, you know, you seem to have a very big devil. I have a very big God. My focus is on the big God that we serve, not the devil who's out there, who has no power in comparison to the power of God. Yet, in this world, he is active. And in this world, we are in a war. And in this world, we are called to take authority in Jesus' name. So I want to encourage you, moms, dads, with kids that are wayward, marriages that are breaking up, single people in your personal life, there's a heavy attack, friends, co-workers in ministry. You have authority in Jesus. Spend time in his presence. Let his word dominate your heart and mind. Ask for a fresh filling of his spirit and power. Take authority over the devil. Drive back the powers of darkness in Jesus' name. Demand that everything trying to put its hands on things that don't belong to it will leave and be gone in Jesus' name. That is part of our warfare. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. But always, before, after, during, let your focus be on the one who sits on the throne, ruling, reigning. Worship him, honor him, praise him, and he will demonstrate his power on your behalf and bring good out of evil on a consistent basis. He is Lord. Hey, friends, you have an awesome day. We'll be back with you tomorrow.